You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. I'm going to turn back the clock for a moment to the year 1994. This was my friend's car. I didn't have a car yet in 1994, but my friend had a Ford Thunderbird. And if you caught me on any given Saturday, I was probably accompanying him to a tiny store called Psalm 150 in Monroe, Louisiana, about 40 minutes from my home. This store, run by a long-haired and goateed gentleman called Muskrat, was where my friends and I could get our hands on something that we really loved and craved. Something rare and scarce in those days before Amazon, eBay, or any other means of finding and having shipped to your door virtually anything you wanted. That thing was tapes and CDs, but not just any tapes and CDs. Christian heavy metal tapes and CDs. Yeah. And as I was preparing for this, you know, I was reminded of one of the greatest prophets of the Texas tradition, Hank Hill, who once said the following.
Hey, what's up? You still have another set?
I'm taking my son home.
I can't believe you, Dad. You're embarrassing me in front of the pastor.
Mr. Hill, you just don't get it. This is how we testify.
Raise him!
Ugh. Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
There it is. There it is. Prophet for our times. The religious context of my youth, and maybe for some of you as well, likes to clearly delineate the two realms of the world, the sacred and the secular, or in the terms we would have used, the Christian and the worldly. So there was Christian music and worldly music. There was a way to dress as a good Christian should and a way to dress that was worldly. There were words that Christians used and words that worldly people used. There were beverages that Christians could consume and beverages that only worldly people consumed. And by and large, this strict line of demarcation between the two was driven by culture and cultural attitudes and not really, truly, by the contents of our faith. The passage from John 17 that we have today was often used to explain and defend this way of dividing the human experience. Since Jesus himself seems to be talking about the world, and more specifically how his followers are not of the world, even though they are in the world. So I think there is something to this idea, but I hope to take a few moments to give you some tools for thinking about this a little bit differently. First of all, it's really worthy of note that Jesus, in this passage taken from what is called the high priestly prayer of the Gospel of John, Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is interceding on our behalf, meaning he is asking the Father things for us, that we would be protected, that we would be sanctified, that we would be made whole and complete by his own sacrifice on the cross for us. It's really quite remarkable. In this prayer, we see time and space melting away. It does not matter that Jesus is praying for us from the distant past. Jesus prayed for us, and he continues to pray for us, and he will continue to pray for us. This is not unlike what happens in the Eucharistic prayer when we say, "Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and dark angels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name." We are taken out of our time and into God's time, a time beyond time. We are taken out of what we know and into what God knows. We are transported when we sing that unceasing chorus. And so Jesus prays for us in this high priestly prayer, even now. And what this also means is that Jesus is modeling a prayer life for us. It's humble, it's responsive, it's receptive. It's not demanding. Notice that he asks the Father for things. It's not self-centered. He's praying on the behalf of others, and it's receptive. Jesus isn't trying to make anything happen. He is simply opening himself up to the Father's will. It's the same lesson he teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us, Lord, to receive the gift, he is saying. Help us to keep the channels of grace flowing. Help us to get out of the way. Help us not to quench the Spirit's work. So that's how Jesus prays, but what he prays is crucial too. He prays that we would be protected from the world, which hates the followers of Jesus. In this way, the world represents first all the powers of empire that killed Jesus. It also represents all the ways in which the world continues to resist the way of Jesus. But it doesn't have to do with splitting the world into the good and the bad. The world resists the way of Jesus because of Jesus' love for all. Because Jesus is above all the one who wants to put the broken world back together again. Who wants to put the pieces of our lives, broken and scattered to the four winds, back together again. Now, at first, that might not sound like a good reason to hate someone or to hate what they represent. But we have to remember the work of the evil one in this world, the work that Jesus came to undo, is a work of separation. Sin separates. It divides not only us from God's love, but from one another as well. So to love the world, to belong to the world, is not to listen to worldly music. It's to sow seeds of division. It's to claim power over others. It's to hold up human accomplishments as something that brings us closer to perfection. It's to wound, to hurt, to maim, to kill. To divide the world violently through war and conquest. To move through the world as though it were a thing to be mastered, tamed, controlled, domesticated. To take advantage of others' weaknesses, to exploit them for one's own gain, to see the world as a zero-sum game, that if others lose, I will win, and therefore I have to win at all costs. Sin separates, sin divides, but Jesus' love puts the world back together again. And so Jesus asks the Father to sanctify us, to make us holy, in other words. Not in that sense of dividing the world into good and bad, the worthy and the unworthy, the sacred and the secular. Not in the sense of dividing the people around us into the good and the bad either. And certainly not in the sense of ourselves being the agents of division in the world. And definitely not in the sense of our having to strive to make ourselves holy. There's a book I picked up a couple of years ago with a lovely and quite provocative title, How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. As one reviewer puts it, this book caught her attention as someone who is anxious about not doing enough, sound familiar, while I've overcommitted to too many things, even more familiar, a function of over-promising and under-delivering in a world obsessed with deliverables and results. Still sound familiar? Does this ring true for you? It's not merely that our jobs and our families and our lives in pretty much every arena are asking us to be productive in a way that is often soul-crushing and that wounds our dignity and our self-worth. It's also that all of those attitudes about modern society, about doing and being and striving and perfecting, have made their way into our faith. They have made their way into the church. We are often told, even in the church, that our performance is what gains us approval. That we are being measured against perfection. That our failures should produce shame and guilt. That our imperfections make us unworthy of love. And so when Jesus asks the Father to sanctify us, I think what this means today is to take us away from that world. And its demands that we pay attention to this or that, take us away from the world and its insistence that all that matters is power and influence and achievement and mastery. It means that we stop trying to make things happen. That we stop trying to make faith happen and instead allow faith to be given to us as a gift with no preconditions, no expectations, no self made efforts. It means that we turn away from division and strife and anger. It means that we let go. It means that we open our hands and our hearts and receive what God gives us. That is what a gift is, after all. I love the way that Rowan Williams talks about this. I want to share this with you. He says, in our Christian lives, we need above all to turn our faces to the overflowing love of God and receive. He says, that's the first thing you're supposed to do as a Christian. Turn your face to the overflowing love of God and simply receive. Before we try to do anything or to change everything, we have to receive something. And that something is the promise of a love that never lets us go. And so all we can do is to leave our hearts and hands and lives open so that the love is drawn in. This is no technique to master. This is no list that we have to check off. He says the beating heart of the Christian life is openness, receptivity to the Spirit's work and to God's love. This is what the joy of Jesus looks like. The joy that Jesus prayed would be made complete and whole in us. It is rest, ceasing from all of our striving. It is the true Sabbath of God, the gift of a love that is not dependent on us, but that flows from the very heart of God, totally, completely, infinitely, always. In a few minutes, as we receive Holy Communion, we are reminded of that gift of unity that Jesus continues to give us, the gift of his very own body and blood. It's why, as we receive, we come with open hands, showing that, as the old hymn says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We bring nothing except our willingness, our joy, our openness to receive the gift of God's love in Jesus Christ. Here there is no division, no splitting the world into halves. God himself was broken in two so that we could be made whole again. One again. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.